Good morning. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in this part of God's vineyard. And to Pastor Gaines, amen, in his absence, thanks for the invitation. I heard of him when I was making my way to Jackson. And my wife and I were driving over to Jackson from Arkansas one Sunday morning, and we made it to Memphis. On Sunday morning, we were like, we gotta go to church somewhere. And we just happened to be passing by Bellevue. So we were like, let's go there. And so we stopped and had worship. And pastor and his wife prayed for Susan and me. And we told them that, I told them I was an educator in Jackson, Tennessee. And he said, well, I've got a boy there, amen, who's at Calvary. You ought to stop by to see him sometime. And I did, amen. And on that Sunday, Pastor Gaines was preaching a sermon. I just thought, that dude ain't scared. I mean, he went deep in the word. Well, what a delight it is to be here. Now, I'm preaching today from Mark, the third chapter, the 20th through the 35th verses. Now, that's a lot. Amen. Amen. Okay, there's a lot in there. And I want to focus on that 35th verse to kind of frame our thinking. And then I want to try to walk our way to that verse. Now, what I like to do in the scripture is I like to get real with the scripture. Is that all right? I mean, you know, we like to, you know, be all hoity-toity and high and lifted up. But I like for us to just feel and get ourselves in the midst of the text. And so this morning, we'll try to do that just a little bit. And this is an absolutely fascinating passage of scripture. And I'll be going back and forth between a couple of translations. But I want to share this scripture, give a thought, and then we'll pray. It says in verse Mark 3 and 35, where it reads, "For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother." And I just want us to think on this thought this morning. Just do the will of God. Just do the will of God. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we praise, we thank you, and we bless you this day. We give you all the glory and honor, and we thank you for assembling us in this place. Now, gracious God, we just pray for your wisdom and your revelation and your unction and your inspiration. Father God, quicken your spirit in us. Stir up the gift in us. Now, gracious God, I take liberty, and I sit Logan down, that Christ may stand, and the Holy Ghost may minister to these your people. In Christ's name, we both praise and pray. Amen. So let us look at this text this morning in Mark, the third chapter, beginning with that 20th verse. There were rumors going around about Mary's oldest boy, that the family and the people had to deal with. Rumor had it that Jesus was going around telling the people that their sins were forgiven, that Jesus, Mary's boy, Joseph's son, the carpenter's boy, was hanging out with tax collectors, was touching lepers, was healing on the Sabbath, and on top of all of those rumors, he was not eating. Mary's response, you know, just as Jesus' mama, in her response, she sounds a whole lot like a Southern mama from the United States, if you will. Look at this text from the New Living Translation. Mark 3, 20 through 21. One time Jesus entered a house, and the crowds began to gather again. Soon he and his disciples couldn't even find time to eat. When his family heard what was happening, they tried to take him away. "He's out of his mind," they said. Do you hear that? Mary thought her firstborn son, who had always been kind of special, had lost his ever-loving mind. Every Southern mama knows if you don't eat, there is something wrong. You are sick or out of your mind. What other explanation could there have been? You gotta eat. So the family went to get him. Now, when Mary and the family arrived, now you skip down to verse 31, we look at what happened. Jesus left his mama and his family outside, did not stop what he was doing to talk to his family, did not pause to eat the food that Mary brought. And you know Mary brought some food. She had some lamb chops and falafel and lycus and hummus and some olives and some grapes. You know, she had laid that thing out. Her boy was acting strange, and she had to get him back on the right path. Mary was trying to help him because she thought he was losing his mind, out there forgiving sins, healing on the Sabbath, not eating. Verse 33 says, but Jesus answered them saying, who is my mother or my brothers? And he looked around in the circle at those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother. Now, I chuckled when I read that. I chuckled when I read those words as I was thinking through my Southern brain and my Southern upbringing. And I thought about a Southern mama standing outside hearing this response from her son. And had Mary been a true Southern mother, there's a chance Jesus never would have made it to the cross and that crucifixion. Because a true Southern mama would have said, how do you think you got here? I've been doing God's will all of my life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out, praise the Lord. But not only was Jesus' immediate family worked up about what he was doing, in Mark 3 and 22, the word reads, and the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons. So the religious leaders, the top preachers of the day, concluded that Jesus was operating under the influence and the power of the devil. His biological family thought he was out of his mind, and his church family, if you will, thought he had sold out to the devil. No one denied that he was doing great things, but because they had never seen this behavior, they had never seen the authority of God working in a person in that way, they had never seen that kind of power, they reasoned that something must be wrong. When they saw him just doing the will of God, something must be wrong. When Jay Dickey, a prominent white businessman and later conservative U.S. representative from Arkansas, started spending his time and his money on black boys like me through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, some concluded that Jay Dickey must have been up to something and that he had just lost his mind. When Reverend M.C. Johnson, one of my mentors who happens to be black, decided that he would take his black family to join the then all-white Southside Baptist Church in the early 70s, his family, his friends, foes, said about Brother M.C., you're trying to be white, and you've lost your ever-loving mind. Even in my own experience, when I determined that I would leave a comfortable life as a chief student affairs officer in a state-supported, stable, predominantly white higher education institution and a comfortable pastorate of a historic CME church to lead a small, historically black church college. Questions and concerns poured into me from my immediate family and my extended family, essentially asking me, have you lost your mind? When you purpose to do the will of God, well-meaning friends and family and not so well-meaning foes will question your motives, will question your means, will question your methods, and will question your state of mind. Why is he doing it? How is she doing it? What is he doing? Has she lost her mind? Jesus responds to his mama and family. And when he spoke in Mark 3:35, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm not lost my mind. I'm just doing the will of God. To the scribes, when Jesus had heard enough of their accusations, Mark 3:23-25, it records Jesus speaking these words. He called them to himself and he said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Abraham Lincoln used this passage when he accepted his party's nomination to run for the U.S. Senate in 1858. He remarked, a house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe this government cannot endure permanently half slave and half free. I do not expect the union to be dissolved. I do not expect the house to fall, but I do expect it will cease to be divided. Some believe this speech contributed greatly to his defeat for the U.S. Senate in 1858. But the speech did awaken the people and made him president in 1860. Candidate Lincoln was on the side of right. And years later, as a result of his presidency, the nation ceased to be divided. As I stand here today, this morning, I am concerned about the state of the church in our community. The state of the church in our society. I am concerned with the division in the church as we pursue to do God's will. Christian conservative versus Christian progressive versus Christian liberal. Preachers of the social gospel versus preachers of the salvation gospel versus preachers of the prosperity gospel. Those who prefer Southern gospel music versus those who prefer contemporary praise music versus those who prefer hymn singers, and on the great divisions that exist in our churches today. It seems to me that our diversity of thought, our diversity of gifts, and yes, sometimes the diversity of our color divides us. Why are humans so intent and committed to division in diversity? A couple of years ago, I spent time with a Coca-Cola executive who was training higher education leaders how to strengthen our teams in multi-generational work environments. He described how Coke marketers segment the market based on income and gender and race and ethnicity and other factors. And he said these words, for a marketer, it is important to maximize differences, to maximize markets, to maximize revenues. He explained they have a product. Coke has a product for every segment of the market. A little research revealed that Diet Coke is marketed to empowered, fashion-conscious women with disposable income. A little more research finds that teens and young adults are the targets of the marketing of Mellow Yellow. True story. The week before I met with the Coke exec, I told a colleague of mine that the original Coke was my favorite drink. you know, Coke has gone through these different translations. And I thought, I really like the original Coke. That's my favorite drink. So while preparing for the sermon, I decided to do a little research because I'm exploring this thing about diversity and how marketers try to divide us up. This is what I found. A Coca-Cola marketer said multicultural consumers are our core focus. As Coke looks forward to 2020, marketing programs, particularly on college campuses, aimed at African Americans, are also a point of emphasis. So I got a little funny preparing for this because I thought, you know, really as I stand here this morning, I don't know if I really like Coke or if the marketers told me I like it and I believe them. Isn't that strange? You wonder why you like Diet Coke? There may be something to it. Here's the point. Every day, all day, the marketers segment, differentiate, divide us into groups to market their products to us. Messages are tailored for each aspect of our diversity. And each Sunday morning, we bring all that diversity and division to this place and to churches. And Jesus had a simple fix to bring us together. Mark 3:35, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. God is a big God. There are 7 billion of us on this planet. That's 14 billion eyes seeing God from different and unique perspectives. 21 billion ears and hearts to hear and receive God's word. And 28 billion hands and feet to get busy doing the will of God. So instead, my brothers and sisters, of getting mad at Coke and the other marketers, let's join them and celebrate our diversity and get busy doing the will of God. Church, there are a lot more people on our side in this world than we sometimes care to admit. I have a college full of black students that I have to, from time to time, just remind them, all the white people in the world are not against you. We have different perspectives and different views. And they may have a different view and a different perspective. And sometimes we get a different revelation from and of God. But because there's difference, it does not mean that we're against one another. Yes, my brothers and sisters, even when we get a little different perspective, we too can be all on the same side and going in the same direction. The different perspective, the different revelation, the different understanding, it's all a part of God's will. The mother in Lincoln Courts, living in the projects, in East Jackson, she wants the same for her child as the soccer mom in North Jackson. They want an opportunity for their children to live out and live up to their God-given potential. The young thug, though he has the wrong approach, wants the same thing as the college intern, an opportunity to make a good living. And each needs a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We have so much more in common than we differ on. We, as we sit around, even with all of our diversity in this room today, we are all about 99.9% similar. We share all of those human attributes together. And our faith, when folks outside of our faith community look at us and they hear us talk about our God and our relationship with our Lord and what we desire, they can't tell the difference between any of us. We all seem similar. A house divided cannot stand. A house together can stand, a house together can stand. A house together can withstand the forces of evil and the attacks and the winds of life. Though the world will say that we've lost our minds, Christians, let's stand together with one another as brothers and sisters and mothers and daddies and do God's will. For here is the vision. When we embrace our diverse brotherhood and sisterhood to do God's will, when we embrace our diversity, the diversity that God assembles us, then, my brothers and sisters, we can freely share the love of Christ with those who know no love and lead them to a loving relationship with our God. When we link together, heart to heart, regardless of our color and of our skin, the slant of our eye, the width of our noses, the thickness of our lips, the gait of our walk, when we join together, we can shine the light of Christ in a dark and a lonely world that needs the light of Christ oh so badly. When we turn to one another rather than on one another, we can share the love of Christ with every child and teach them to read on grade level. With Christ doing God's will through us, we can stop the sale of illegal drugs in our city streets and the abuse of legal drugs in the countryside. With Christ doing God's will through us, we can be the church, the community, the city God has called us to be. My brothers and sisters, I call you and I challenge you this morning. Just do God's will. Let us pray.